Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. They gave life to music that had been silenced, and now they're nominated for a Grammy. The South Dakota Chorale performed and recorded the T-Burg Masses across the country, including stops in South Dakota and Minnesota. The music of Marcel T-Burg has only recently been rediscovered. The composer was killed in the Holocaust at Auschwitz. Before his death, he entrusted his life's work to friends who brought a suitcase of sheet music to the United States. Bringing that music to life for its first modern performance was a sacred task for the musicians and for South Dakota Chorale conductor Brian Schmidt. The recording of that effort is nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Choral Performance. The Grammy Awards are presented on January 28, 2018. Joining me now in the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls, singer and chorale board president Heath Weber. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. This is quite a project. I immediately remember the conversation I had with Brian Schmidt in January before this was about being performed. Before this was performed, it is a story that is unforgettable when you tell it.
It really is. And it was powerful for us as singers to be a part of bringing that music to life. And so we all really got a sense of the magic that was happening as we were creating this music. It was a truly powerful musical experience.
How did you approach the work from the beginning? You must have done a lot of sort of studying the story as well as studying the music.
You know, it was interesting. The one of the masses is not overly difficult. As Brian says, it's very accessible for even a good high school choir. And so I think as we all approach it as singers, we had that same kind of idea, the idea that, oh, well, you know, this is fine. The other mass that's a bit longer had certainly some more challenges. But as the music grew, we certainly all felt like Marcel T-Burg was there, you know, to bring someone's music back to life, I think, and especially in the way that it was lost and then found and found its way to us is really profound and moving and pretty wonderful.
We have a few clips here from Brian Schmidt when he joined us on the program on January 11th, 2016. This first one, he's giving us a little background on the composer Marcel T-Burg. Let's take a listen.
He was born in Vienna and grew up in a fairly musical family. His father was a violinist with many of the prominent, more regional orchestras in Europe. And his mother was a pianist and a church musician. And so he grew up in a musical family and received really proper training and himself became a violinist and a keyboardist. And so he lived most of his life kind of in the Southern Europe region and eventually kind of settled on the coast of what was at that time part of Italy and now a little bit more part of Croatia. Mm. So yeah, he was a versatile musician. He composed classical music. He worked in many different ways. He taught lessons, composition lessons, and keyboard lessons. I think he was well known in circles. You know, never achieved the fame and the status of somebody like Gustav Mahler or Richard Wagner, but you know, very well known with the musical elite that he was connected to, and thus received invitations to play as a soloist, whether with his own works or some other works, and some of the prominent symphonies during the beginning to the middle of the 20th century.
Heath, how do you find out that you're nominated for a Grammy? What's that process look like?
You know, it's funny. As I was meeting with the board, I had just gotten a call from Brian, and he said, you know, we've made the first cut. So the Grammy voting had just happened, and he said we were on the initial list, and so I shared that with the board, and I said, that's very exciting. You know, and Brian had said, there is significant buzz about the recording. He said, so Blanton, who's our recording artist, felt very good about our chances to get the nomination. And so then just as, you know, like Beyonce or Jay-Z or anybody finds out. It's when all of those nominations are announced and the Grammy organization posts that on their website, of course, and then they have a press conference where the, you know, the big popular music is announced. But ours came up in the email and the website, and of course it spread really quickly, and the chorale was over the moon. There have been some really great text message exchanges, and it's pretty wonderful. We are really, really excited.
Has it happened before? Is this the first time you've been nominated for a Grammy for a recording?
The first time I have been nominated for a Grammy, and I think for many of the chorale, also the first time. So it's pretty neat. Not pretty neat. I mean, good heavens. I got so giddy, you know?
Yeah, how do you find the language for something like this? Because it, not only is it acknowledging the work, the performance work that you did, which is obviously a huge part of this, but it's also taking the story and the music that you, the project itself, the heart that you put into it, and bringing it to a wider audience.
Exactly.
So that carries on this incredible story even further. See, I'm running out of words too. Let's bring Brian Schmidt back in here, because this is an important part where he really talks about what happened to Marcel Teeburg and how the music was saved in the first place. Take a listen.
It's a very tragic and unfortunately, I think, common story for so many of the people that were murdered during this tragic historical time period. He was living in Abbazia, Italy at that time, and really there was no Nazi occupation of the region, but their troops started moving down into that region, and I think there was this fear growing among people there, and Marcel was aware that his mother had registered their family, not shying away from what would be his great-great-grandfather, who was Jewish heritage, and this I think grew heavy on his mind. And so as people heard about the troops moving toward the region, he gathered his friends, and we know this story through some of his friends that tell it. He gathered some of his friends at a local church in the evening by candlelight, and he played through his compositions, some of his solo songs. I imagine some of his symphonies at an organ bench, and I imagine also the two masses he wrote. He gave all of his music away at that time, possibly anticipating he might not be able to protect it himself. And he hugged his friends and he went home, and it wasn't more than 2 days, and his family and friends kind of noticed he had disappeared. And the Gestapo had come through the region. He was quite depressed at that time, having lost his mother not too far before. And it was really assumed that he might have committed suicide. But it was several years later that people discovered his name was indeed registered at Auschwitz.
We're talking with Heath Weber. He is the South Dakota Chorale Board President and a singer with the chorale. And you just heard a clip from a January conversation with Artistic Director Brian Schmidt. And Heath, again, it's hard to find language for this, but that moment where there have to be moments during the performances, during the rehearsals, where that awareness of what you were recreating had to sink in.
Absolutely. I think for me the most profound moment happened for whatever reason when we were in Lincoln, which is where we recorded this the CD, and all of our concerts that tour were in churches. But for whatever reason, First Plymouth in Lincoln is a beautiful setting, and there's this kind of starry mural on the ceiling, and it's very rich and resonant, and there's a huge organ beside us, and the breadth and the depth of the meaning and the music really kind of hit us all. We're also singing it really, really well at that point. And to think that the last time it was heard was at his own fingers and sitting at an organ bench, and it it really, there were so many moments when the singer said, this is really profound. This is really special. This is a moment that I'll cherish for a long time. And I said that I hadn't had an experience like that, a musical experience like that, since I'd been in a college ensemble. Mm-hmm. And to have that kind of connection with your fellow singer, and to know that you were moving forward a work of art that had not been heard was just profound. I mean, it's really, that's the word I have for this, is that on top of the really exciting piece that we have this Grammy nomination, the story behind the T-Berg and the masses and all of his music being found and brought back to life is just really a phenomenal little bit of history that we get to relive.
And as a singer, you might have that experience where all of that comes together at once in a lifetime.
It's true. And, you know, we call it mountaintop experiences. I have this conversation with my choir on a regular basis. We often have them in rehearsal. We rarely have them in performance because you're in rehearsal for the balance of your time. And so you strive to reach those pinnacle moments in performance so the audience can share those as well. And there were a number of those moments in this concert series. I had good friends from Minneapolis who were watching when we performed in Minneapolis, and as we finished with the concert, my friend Luke looked at me with big eyes and just kind of threw his head back and said, that was a thing. I just witnessed a thing. Mm-hmm. And it was neat.
I believe we have an excerpt from the recording here, South Dakota Chorale with the T-Berg Masses. Talk over that.
it's pretty stunning. The Jesu Christe part was especially lovely in that space. I just kind of hung there. Doug Dodson, the countertenor who did the incantation at the beginning, is a Spearfish native. He grew up in Spearfish, South Dakota, and there were just so many pieces that came together that really made this a special thing for the chorale.
And this is, I'm going to stumble through this because it's kind of a weird thing to say because of the story behind it is so much about Marcel T-Berg and, you know, about the history of this piece. But as a South Dakotan, I'm just like, yes, the South Dakota Chorale.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like you've done something for us, too.
Yes.
It feels really, really significant from mm-hmm. that standpoint. And there's a real joy in that.
Oh, there
so
is.
From tragedy to mm-hmm. the joy of just the honor.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there are so many neat pieces about what we are as the South Dakota Chorale. We have many, many, many South Dakotans and South Dakota natives and regional singers. And then we also bring these people in like so many good South Dakotans do, bring these people in underneath their arm and they stay in their homes and they've Our singers who are itinerant and come in from out of state love this place the way that we love South Dakota and the way that we know South Dakota is generous and giving and kind, and they reflect that. And I think that kind of generosity and kindness and passion is reflected in this recording. And it does make me so proud to say that we are the South Dakota Chorale and that we represent the great things that are happening in our community, in the arts community, and that really phenomenal, beautiful things can happen in a state like South Dakota. You know, I think we are so often flown over, and we are a flyover state, and, you know, people often, you know, pish-posh, what happens in South Dakota? And this is a true gem that says, yes, we are doing wonderful things here. And as you said, yes, South Dakota Chorale, yes. Yes.
Thank you from all of us for doing this. Grammy Awards on January 28th. Will you have a viewing party?
Brian will be there, I think okay. we're planning to have a viewing party of some sort. Brian will be there, and you know, it's one of those awards that's likely going to be given away at another time.
Right.
We will happily accept one of those little trophies or three. You know, we're up for three total. And then our engineer has a couple as well.
Fabulous. Well, best of luck to you on behalf of all of us.
Thank you.
Heath Weber, thank you so much for being here with South Dakota Chorale.